You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Yeah, and hopefully you can catch some. And, you know, it's sort of interesting because, as you know, the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council tries to operate from the bottom up, which means that you are important. You're a member of the food chain, just like the fish we catch are. And there are all kinds of things going on that sometimes can impact and alter that. And if you were at the last Fishers Forum, which is part of, I think, the 163rd meeting of the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, you heard a lot of talk about the increase, market size increase on the on ahi. And there are ramifications about changing anything, but particularly in this case. And so today, we are fortunate to have, from the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, their social scientist. His name is Chris Hawkins. And I know that that must be sometimes hard to explain to people what a social scientist is. I mean, okay, are you, I mean, does that mean you wear a tuxedo and go to hype, you know, big dollar events every night? Or what does it mean? What is a social scientist?
It's interesting. You know, many of the social scientists that I've met across the natural resource spectrum are some of the most socially awkward people that you'd ever know. And they've just chosen to study people in society. Not that they interact particularly well with individuals or groups. They instead of studying fish, they study how people operate and behave and act together in conflict. So no tuxedos for me.
Slippers is just fine.
Yeah, exactly.
But here's the thing. I do know that every now and again, there's a meeting and somebody going and they'll get this knee jerk reaction. Oh, my life is over and everything else. Now there is probably going to be, based on available science, a change in the marketability of yellowfin tuna. Right now, it's, I think, what, 3 pounds?
The state has a commercial minimum size at sale of 3 pounds.
Right.
There is no federal.
Right. And the state is looking at, based on available science, maybe increasing that to allow fish to grow quicker so they can reproduce or what?
Right. You know, this is driven by some members of our fishing community here in Hawaii and partly by some of the science, the recent science that's showing that perhaps we have a more residential population of yellowfin than we thought, that they're not migrating in and out with the frequency and the numbers that we thought that they might be hanging out here.
That's important for two reasons. First of all, a lot of people that are on trollers and stuff, they really can't tell the difference between a big eye and a yellowfin. It's not real easy.
At the small stages. It's difficult.
Now, that being said, it's not the inshore fisherman home consumption guy that's affected by any of this, but what about customers that wanted to go to their favorite little market and buy a little ahi?
So if the state and the feds decide, after the state decides, to raise the commercial minimum size from 3 pounds to something greater, which we don't know what that might be, if it does happen at all. These are all ifs. There are likely to be some folks here in the community who are going to be disadvantaged. They rely to some extent, or at least prefer, to have these small ahi available, as you said, in the formal marketplace. We're not talking about being able to retain them if you caught them recreationally or non-commercially, or if somebody gave them to you. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to go to a market, one of these smaller fish markets in particular, and to buy an ahi in the range of 3 to 7 pounds or so. That may disappear over time in place of ahi that are maybe more than 10 pounds, more than 15 pounds in the market. We don't know yet.
And what I think is important, because we talk about this is a social issue. This is an issue where some people, it's not that they want to buy a fish because they're going to fry it in a pan, like a pan fryer, but it may be just that a lot of people can't afford per pound or for a fish that's more than three people can eat. And they want a nice little fish, and they want a fresh one.
Exactly. When we've been doing some survey work here on Oahu, and we're going to the outer neighbor islands here soon, we found several reasons why people might want or prefer or need that small ahi. One of them, as you just said, is definitely an economic issue. At about $3.95 a pound for one of these guys, mm-hmm. folks can afford it. And it can feed a couple of people,
yep.
maybe even a small family, mm-hmm. In one sitting.
And that's the
And they can eat the bones.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Remember that these juvenile fish, there's less waste, you know, because right. you can, if you want to, do more things
yes.
with the belly, with the bones, and
the
all
head.
Those things.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so we know that. We've talked to people, and we spent some time out in Waianae not too long ago talking to people and listening and hearing about their preference and their reliance in these fish. And they definitely, many of them grew up eating these fish in a certain way. Some of them grew up pan frying the whole thing, and mm-hmm. But certainly there is a long history with some of these communities of eating these small and having them available, these small ahi in the markets.
What are you looking at, though? Because when somebody look, we're told the three main food groups are not, you know, soda, fries, and a burger. And what I'm worried about, and what I think maybe the council is taking a look at, is that if we remove that ability for somebody to get that fish that they can afford, they might substitute it with other protein that may not be as good for them.
Right. So there is that. Mm-hmm. We're also looking at what they might substitute from on the fishery perspective. Mm-hmm. And you might look at something like Opelu. You might look at some of the other coastal pelagics that mm-hmm. may be in the marketplace, that may be around the same price per pound and may have some of the same sort of desirable attributes that mm-hmm. the small ahi do. We're also
yeah.
looking at reef fish, but probably reef fish, many of the reef fish anyway, are probably not good substitutes price-wise and for other reasons.
But wouldn't there be a danger there that if they can no longer get that favorite fish, the small ahi, that they might tax the inshore fishery by putting more pressure on fishermen to get more food for them?
It's possible. Mm-hmm. From what we're seeing right now, it doesn't seem like there's...
Maybe not the same consumer, right?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's a ton of folks mm-hmm. that might put that pressure on. I think that there's a relatively small amount in terms of the total state population that are going to be disadvantaged. Not to say that they're not important, but... Well, but there are consequences
yeah,
that we
yeah,
may
well,
not
yeah,
know.
I was going to say, let me ask you this. I mean, based on the science of it, I think that people are more and more accepting the thought pattern that's gone behind identifying the fact that we probably do have a resident ahi fishery here, that these little fish that we catch, it would be hard to think that they could have traveled over great distances.
Right.
You
well,
know, though, and survive.
Yeah, and yeah. those guys are being spawned locally, and, mm-hmm. and I think the science is showing that they're staying local mm-hmm. As they grow, which is the important thing. But the verdict's still out as to how much it might help them
yeah.
if we do raise the commercial minimum size, because you know there are all sorts of factors there, that the age that they spawn at, the size that they spawn mm-hmm. at. So how big do you have to raise it to get
yeah,
the
yeah,
protection?
Yeah, yeah.
And even if you do, there are a lot of things that eat and kill small ahi in much greater numbers than fishermen. And so what kind of relative positive contribution
yeah,
are we having?
That's another thought. I don't think people really understand that a small ahi is not a reef fish. I mean, they're not inside, they're outside.
They're
and
outside.
As outside, they're not a whole bunch bigger than the little bait fish.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a delectable little morsel, aren't they?
For a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, what are the big hunters of small ahi?
You know, you'd have to ask the biologist. Unfortunately, I don't know a lot of the predator-prey relationships with the small ahi. I do know, just in general, that the mortality on the small ahi come from things other than fishermen in larger numbers. So it's, you know, in natural environmental things, too. Mm-hmm. The reason that fish lay millions of eggs is because millions of them don't survive to adulthood for various reasons.
Yeah, you know, when you watch the documentaries, particularly on the little turtles, and you see them just getting slobbered up by the thousands
turtles.
Getting into the water, that's part of the big plan. That's why they have so many of them.
That's why they have, and that's why a mama turtle will lay a number of clutches over the season, you know.
If a few make it, they're the head of the curve.
If a few make it, they're great. Yeah.
What do you look at? I mean, I know that you guys, with bated breath, get the input from the community, from the markets, from consumers, from fishermen. I'm worried about another thing, and some people that are catching these smaller tuna and selling them commercially, That's their pay grade. That's their limit of expertise. They get those because they know how to get them. They know where they are, and they go out and jig or troll or whatever, and they pick up a lot of these babies. Yep. If you take that ability away from them, there might be some incomes, affected by this.
And absolutely, and that's the folks we want to hear from as well. And so I would encourage people to contact us at the council, because it's difficult to find some of the folks. Mm-hmm. It's easy to go to a brick and mortar store.
Sure.
It never moves. And we know who they are. But a lot of the roadside vendors and other folks that you're talking about that do go out on the weekend and catch large numbers of these fish and maybe rely on them for income. And maybe they have customers that rely on them for income. We need to hear from those folks as well. Really, it's harder to find.
That's really a good point. And what Chris is talking about here, gang, and once again, this is Chris Hawkins. He's a social scientist of the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council. Easy enough. It's WPCouncil.org where you can go find out some of this stuff. WPCouncil.org. Here's the thing, and you can explain a little bit. We are really blessed in Hawaii that most of our statistical data is compiled through the United Fish Agency. I mean, the commercial guys usually, the lion's share of the fish goes to the auction. But the lion's share of small ahi doesn't go to the auction. You know, and so this means that what you're saying is that this other info is important. Where are folks reluctant to share the info, and how can we convince them to be a little more forthcoming to help out in the studies of these fish?
You know, I think that a major source of reluctance for something like a project like this is that the roadside vendors and others who are selling the small but legal legal-sized fish, may be confusing one part of the federal government for another. And the council is not the federal government. We're just a quasi, but they might think we're after their income and their taxes. No, we don't care about that at all.
I've heard this. I've heard you guys talk in the forum about this, that there is no interplay between the tax guys and the fish guys.
Nope.
You know?
Nope. Yeah. And we don't even, when I go out and talk to people, I don't even record names. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's no way that anybody, if they broke into my office and got a hold of a data form from an interview that I might have conducted with a roadside vendor about selling small ahi, small but legal ahi, they would never even know who it was.
You know, gang, what you really need to do is you need to take what Chris is saying to heart, because he won't do it, but I will. I'm begging you. And there are some people that are forthright, and they come forward, and they become emissaries. They convince others to do the same because they don't experience any of the things that the rumor was that, the IRS, you're going to get a 1099 form from these guys. And that's not even the issue anyway, is it? I mean, it's... What did you say in your profession? Garbage in, garbage out. If you don't have good numbers, you can't get good decisions.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're often regulating people on bad numbers. And so bad things are happening to them for bad numbers. And I think people are worried that worse things will happen to them if we have better numbers. But that's not always the case.
So. I'm hoping to convince a few more listeners today to be a little more forthright, because I don't think that anybody really gets serious until they find out what's the ticking clock like, what's the calendar like. And I know that you guys are up against the wall, that there are a lot of studies being made and decisions are going to be made based on these studies. What do you see time-wise of a consideration to increase this size?
In terms of the council's timeline, we're following the lead of the state. There's really no sense in the council in federal waters enacting any kind of a minimum size. Right now there is no federal minimum size, but there's certainly no rationale for creating a minimum size, say, of 15 pounds. Let's just say 15 pounds. If the state's not going to follow suit, because now you've got, so the fisherman says, well, I caught it in state waters, or I caught it in federal waters. And so we've got to wait for the state to go through their process. And what's their timeline? We don't really know they're still short of a DAR administrator, but they're doing their best with community meetings and things like that. All I can say is they've been getting some pressure from certain members of the fishing community to look at this issue. And they are taking their time, and they're doing it. So,
what we've seen before, and I know that this comes up at the forums, and you guys certainly at the council level, working with the fishermen that you do, and working out in the field that you do, a lot of fishermen really are more responsible than some others think. They will, if all of a sudden they've got hooks in the water and they're small fish, they'll stop because they just think, wait a minute. This is false. I mean, I'm not going to be, it's got a lot of trouble. I'm going to spend a lot of gas. I'm not going to get the return because these fish are too small, and they're going to spoil before I can get them to market.
Yeah. You know? And it's interesting, too. You know, we went through this period where the community connections were probably not as strong as they are now and as they were once in the past, because the communities were smaller and they were tight-knit, and then we went through this period of expansion. But now with social media, the thing that you just said is they're easily able to communicate with each other, and that information gets spread very quickly, and people can change their behavior and fish in a different way very quickly because of the way that people communicate these days.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of people that remember the old fish catch reports, they were a cumbersome, bulky thing. They were a pain in the neck to do, and now your grandkids can do them for you. They can just go online.
Yeah.
As a parting shot for this gathering, our get-together this time, What is the council reaching out for? What do we need to get people to sign up to?
I think that the two things that we're most interested in learning right now with regard to the small ahi are, who's selling the small ahi, either on the roadside or in the brick and mortar, and, you know, what kind of the price and what's the volume, because the volume indicates the demand. And so we're looking at that. We're looking to understand some things about their customers. You know, the vendors, these small fish vendors, they know their customers very well, and they know why their customers come in to the store to buy the small ahi. And so understanding whether there's preferences involved or actual real need from these folks and who they are and some things about them will really help. And I think, second of all, we really want to hear from the consumers themselves, if possible. Do you rely on or prefer small ahi? Give us a call. Send us an email. Tell us why. There was a petition that went around in the early part of this year, especially here on Oahu, the council, demanding the state not raise the minimum size. So there is a ethos out there. There is a preference. And a demand.
I'm just hoping that the push and the pull meet somewhere in the middle, because that's really the only way we're going to get anywhere, right?
Absolutely.
Hey, Chris Hawkins, senior scientist, social scientist. Well, he's going to be a senior scientist one of these days. Thanks for joining us. See you again next time.
Thanks.
Okay, when we come back, we won't be coming back. That's the end of our program for today, but I want to let you know, thanks, everybody, for earlier talking about the tournaments. And, of course, our friends from Wicked Tuna, Outer Banks, Captain Griff. We'll talk to him again. But in the meantime, if you want to hear other slugs of this, or if you want to know more about the council's role, go to wpcouncil.org. It's simple, wpcouncil.org. Tight lines, sharp hooks, following season, big bites for all of you. See you on Go Fish next time. If you want to hear something on the program, you know what to do. Drop a line to wpcouncil.org or send me one. The Mike Buck Show at AOL.com. The Mike Buck Show at AOL.com. Good. Go get it.